Let's go to our scripture reading here today, which we will find in Romans chapter 7. And I am going to read verses 14 through 25. Again, last week we started talking about sin and justifying sin. And now this week we're going to kind of follow up with that with some more verses that talk about sin, but kind of in a different light. So we will go through those here this morning. Romans 7, 14, if you have your place, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. And let's see what the scriptures are going to reveal to us here this morning. Verse 14. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate to do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God, who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. Let's pray. Father, I just pray that these verses of Scripture will be revealed to us, that the truth be made known to us, that we can learn from these verses and grow from these verses. These verses will transform us and make us a little more Christ-like in our walk in this thing we call Christianity. So, Lord, I pray that the words that I speak will be words that are acceptable to you, and I hide behind the cross. And, Father, once again, I do ask and pray that all of our lives in some way be transformed a little more today into the image and likeness of your Son, Jesus. And it's in his name that I pray. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, today this is our 30th week as we continue this journey through the New Testament. If you ever want to read a clear and concise breakdown of the gospel, the book of Romans is the one book that you want to have in your hand to read. In verses chapter 1, verse 18 through 320, it tells of man's sinfulness. That's how we began, as sinful human beings. In 321 through 521, it tells of God's righteousness through justification by grace through faith. In chapter 6 through 8, it tells of the sanctification process of a believer. And then you get to chapters 9 through 11, and it tells of God's righteousness first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. And then in chapters 12 through 15, verse 13, it tells how God's righteousness must be lived out in a believer's life. And then from chapter 15, verse 14, through the remainder of the book, Paul gives his concluding remarks. It's a wonderful book that gives a very complete explanation of the gospel. Well, last week we spent time in Romans chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, which speaks of man's sinfulness and the four excuses that mankind will give to justify his or her sin. Excuse number one, I said this. Well, I'm a Jew and God's wrath will not apply to me. And that's when we today rely on our religious genealogy to save us. Excuse number two is this. We serve a good God who only wants the best for me, and he would never condemn anybody. We say that God is a good God, and he loves me just the way I am. Excuse number three. I will sin so God's glory and grace will abound in me. In other words, the bad in me will only bring out more good out of God. And that's got to be a good thing. And then excuse number four. I know it's a sin, but I'll do it anyways, and I'm really not going to feel guilty about doing it. And this attitude involves no guilt, no shame, no conviction, and no confession. It's really a lifestyle of sin, which is unacceptable. So as a result of those four excuses, we had to ask the question, is that person truly saved if they continue to live in a lifestyle of unrepentant, unconfessed sin where there is absolutely no conviction to change? And Romans chapter 3, verse 8 answers that and concludes by saying that their condemnation is deserved. So, and perhaps many of us, or some of us, or might have left here last Sunday feeling a little defeated and maybe even questioning our own salvation. But that's not necessarily a bad thing if we question our salvation. We should and we must be concerned about sin in our lives. And if we left last week with any kind of doubt, perhaps we need to, as it says in 2 Corinthians 13:5, we need to test ourselves to make sure that we are truly in the faith. And all that review leads to today's lesson concerning sin and how the Apostle Paul viewed his own sin as a believer in Christ. So let's examine the scriptures, and I got my fill in the blanks here, and hopefully I know the answers. I know the answers. I got them written right here. Of course I do. Okay, so Paul uses two words in Romans chapter 7 that we need to clarify. The first word, and see, I wouldn't normally have these verses up here, but I don't. The first word, he uses the word flesh. He uses that word in verses 5, verse 14, verse 18, and verse 25. What does Paul mean when he speaks about the flesh? Well, that's our first fill in the blank. The flesh refers to our human condition. It's very simple. It refers to our human condition. It's what we all inherited from the sin of Adam in the garden. We all have it. The flesh is our humanity, and our humanity has a what we call a bent towards sin. Our human condition wants to fail the law of God. We do want to sin. The flesh was our condition before we became a Christian. Unfortunately, and this is something we must remember, unfortunately, the flesh does not go away once we become Christians. So he uses the word flesh in those four verses. And second, he uses the word spirit. What does he mean when he speaks of spirit in verse number 6 of Romans chapter 7? And that's our next fill in the blank. The spirit refers to our redeemed condition. Our redeemed condition. The Holy Spirit is in the process of transforming and renewing our minds once we become Christians, right? That's Romans 12:2. And a renewed mind, a mind that has been renewed by the Spirit, has a desire to be less like the world and to be more like Christ. So, for the Christian, we have a renewed mind that has a desire to be Christ-like. And unfortunately, we have remnants of the flesh, which only wants to rebel and do evil and sin. Welcome to the war, because that's what it is. Welcome to the battle that rages within every Christian. Me, you, every Christian out there. And that conflict is the desire to do good while our human condition continues and wants to sin. And the battle goes on. And this war is exactly what the Apostle Paul is talking about here in Romans chapter 7. In verses 14 through 20, he shares that struggle by saying that he does the things that he shouldn't be doing. And he doesn't do the things that he should be doing. So let's go to our next fill in the blank, and let's fill this in and continue talking about Paul's struggle. And our fill in the blank would say this: even though Paul realizes that he is still capable of sinning, he never once concludes that his sin is justified. On the contrary, he identifies himself as a wretched man. So he never says that the sin is justified. And he says that he himself, he knows that I'm a wretched man. So what does a wretched man or a wretched person look and act like? Well, I have the definition there inside your bulletin. To be wretched means to be deeply afflicted, dejected, or distressed in body or mind. And the second definition, extremely or deplorably bad or distressing. Paul realizes that he is a wretch because he knows, one, I have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. I have been saved by grace through faith. And he delights in God's law. He says all that in verse 22. I delight in the law of God. Yet he continues to fail by allowing the flesh to win some of these battles. And many Christians, maybe we do it, we read these verses from Romans 7, and it gives us some peace of mind knowing that a pillar of the church, the Apostle Paul, had struggles with sin too. I think I'm going to say a correct statement here. I think we all struggle with sin in some way, shape, or form because we all still have the flesh. We still have that human condition. And it hasn't gone away. And I really wish it would, but it hasn't. However, many of these same people use these verses as an excuse to sin. They will actually look at Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 25, and it gives them an excuse and to live a lifestyle of some kind of sin. They'll say something like, well, if Paul was a sinner, look what he did, then I can do it too. And that can become very, very dangerous territory when we no longer have guilt or shame or conviction or confession over our own trespasses and iniquities. We talked about that last week. We have become antinomian, which means we no longer have law. We don't live by any kind of law anymore. We think we're above the law and everything's grace. So I can do whatever I want and there'll be no consequences because of that. And we cannot go to that extreme either. So how does Paul conclude this section? He says this, he wants to be rescued from this situation. He wants to be rescued from this war that is raging within him and within us. And he provides a solution. And it's good news and it's very reassuring. And that would be our fourth fill in the blank. Thanks be to God. Jesus Christ delivers us. And I want you to write that. Don't write that in past tense. And write that in present tense. Jesus Christ delivers us. Because that's the way it is put in the Bible. I find it extremely interesting that the tense of the verb deliver that is used in that passage, in this sentence, is the present tense. It says Jesus Christ delivers us. Present tense. It doesn't say that he delivered us. Past tense. It doesn't say that he will deliver us. Future tense. It uses the present. It says he delivers us. So what does it mean to deliver? What is that, the definition of that word? And I do not have that here in the bulletin. You know, the very first definition of the word deliver in Webster's dictionary is to set free. To set free. To be delivered means to be set free. And it is a present tense verb, and Paul uses it in present tense because it is an ongoing process. Romans chapter 8, verses 33 and 34 explain this well. If you still have your Bibles open, and I apologize for not having it up here. It says this, Romans 8, 33. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one that condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised from life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Jesus Christ is at the right hand of God, interceding for us. We must remember that in the midst of this raging war of flesh versus spirit, that Jesus Christ is always interceding for us. And we have to have the confidence of knowing that. It takes us back to Philippians 1:6 again, which says this, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on unto completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Not only did God start it, not only will God finish it, but the good news is, as we go through this journey, he's going to see it through. Even in those times, my friends, when the weight of our sin has brought heavy guilt and heavy shame upon us, we need to have the confidence of knowing that Jesus Christ delivers us. Present tense, he delivers us, because it's always an ongoing process. Romans chapter 7, what a wonderful chapter. I am so glad that this chapter is in there. But we must remember, Romans chapter 7 is never, ever, 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 ever a license to sin or to continue in any kind of sinful lifestyle. He never says that. Romans 7 must make us aware that we are being delivered on an ongoing basis from the wretches that we truly are, that there is always a battle going on inside us, a war, but we know this. We know who comes out victorious. It's amazing grace, isn't it? Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that did what? That saved a wretch like me. I think a great way to conclude that would be to maybe let's sing that song.